This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents If They Come For Us. This is the author, Fatima Usker. For my family, blood and not. At least 14 million people were forced into migration as they fled the ethnic cleansings and retributive genocides that consumed South Asia during the India-Pakistan partition, which led to India's and East and West Pakistan's independence from colonial Britain. An estimated 1 to 2 million people died during the months encompassing partition. An estimated 75,000 to 100,000 women were abducted and raped. Partition remains one of the largest forced migrations in human history. Its effects and divisions echo to this day. For Peshawar, December 16, 2014. Before attacking schools in Pakistan, the Taliban sends kafan, a white cloth that marks Muslim burials, as a form of psychological terror. From the moment our babies are born, are we meant to lower them into the ground, to dress them in white? They send flowers before guns, thorns plucked from stem. Every year I manage to live on this earth, I collect more questions than answers. In my dreams, the children are still alive, at school. In my dreams, they still play. I wish them a mundane life. Arguments with parents, groundings, chasing a budding love around the playground, iced mango slices in the hot summer, lassi dripping from lips, fear of being unmarried, hatred of the family next door, cure at graduation, fingers licked with mehndi, blisters on the back of a heel, loneliness in a bookstore, gold chappals, red kurtas, walking home, sun at their backs, searching the street for a missing glove, nothing glorious, a life alive, I promise. I didn't know I needed to worry about them until they were gone. My uncle gifts me his earliest memory, a parking lot full of corpses, no kafan to hide their eyes, no white to return them to the ground. In all our family histories, one wrong turn and then death. Violence not an over there, but a memory lurking in our blood, waiting to rise. We know this from our nests, the bad men wanting to end us. Every year we call them something new. British, Sikhs, Hindus, Indians, Americans, terrorists. The dirge, our hearts, pounds vicious as we prepare the white linen, ready to wrap our bodies. Partition. You're Kashmiri until they burn your home, take your orchards, stake a different flag, until no one remembers the road that brings you back. You're Indian until they draw a border through Punjab, until the British captains spit paki as they sip your chai, add so much foam you can't taste home. You're Strikey until your mouth fills with English. You're Pakistani until your classmates ask what that is. Then you're Indian again, or some kind of Spanish. You speak a language until you don't, until you only recognize it between your auntie's lips. Your father was fluent in four languages. You're illiterate in the tongues of your father. Your grandfather wrote Persian poetry on glasses. Maybe, you can't remember, you made it up, someone lied. You're a daughter until they bury your mother, until you're not invited to your father's funeral. You're a virgin until you get too drunk. You're Muslim until you're not a virgin. You're Pakistani until they start throwing acid. You're Muslim until it's too dangerous. You're safe until you're alone. You're American until the towers fall, until there's a border on your back. Kal. Allah, you gave us a language where yesterday and tomorrow are the same word. Kal, a spell cast with the entire mouth, back of the throat to teeth. Tomorrow means I might have her forever, Yesterday means I say goodbye again. Gul means they are the same. I know you can bend time. I am merely asking for what is mine. Give me my mother for no other reason than I deserve her. If yesterday and tomorrow are the same, pluck the flower of my mother's body from the soil. Gul means I'm in the crib, eyelashes wet as she looks over me. Gul means I'm on the bed, crawling away from her, my father back from work. Gul means she's dancing at my wedding, not yet come. Gul means she's oiling my hair before the first day of school. Gul means I wake to her strange voice in the kitchen. Gul means she's holding my unborn baby in her arms, helping me pick a name. We are calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. Donald Trump's administrative team, December 7th, 2015. When the orders came, they shipped us to the sanctuary camps and we forgot our other countries. Like good school children, we sang the anthem loud, so loud, until we could hear nothing else. Not the birds delighting over their young, or the dogs snarl at our feet, or him on the news hourly growling. This is the cost of looking the other way when they come for us. I build safety inside you and wake in cuffs. I'm all mouth. Every morning I whisper, my country, my country, my country, and my hands stay empty. What is land but land? A camp but a camp. Sanctuary, but another grave. I am an architect. I permission everything into something new. I build and build, and someone takes it away. 100 words on 45's 100 days. His last name means to win. He drops bombs flattening children to prove he can. My friends write, not my president, online. I am the farthest from home I've been in a long time. I write, I pledge no allegiance, but children stay dead, buried by cement in Syria or a cop's bullet in America, and he goes on golfing, vacationing, his belt swelling past buckle while swarms of children never grow up. He's not my president, but I live in a country whose sun is war. We keep rotating around its warmth, our faces sun-kissed each and every morning. How we left, film treatment. Establishing shot. Here's the image Auntie P gave me. The street, a pool of spilled light, and all the neighborhood children at my grandfather's knee. Kids, turbaned or takiyad or talakad or not. How Jammu smelled of jasmine. Elevator pitch. Yes, I've heard your story. The man who saved my family before they were my family. The boy who sat, crowned at the cusp of my grandfather's light, who walked to their place, belt wrapped around books, swinging their shadows to the sun. Primary research. Ulu remembers it like this. Clutching a suitcase of toys when the men came, machetes swinging the sun red. The year we found out who we were and who we were not. Muslims boarded on the bus. Sikh men laughing. You wanted a fairy tale, and now you'll get it. Rationale. It takes a lot of work to remember we are nothing. What has history given us but a fickle home, a legacy of bloodied men? What's a nation to the sky? Some other wood to call ours, some other snippet of cloud to pretend we own. Secondary research. My mom's clean, lean legs pounding the ground. Kirpans catching light, limbs lost in long grass, her hand above, searching for someone's to hold, the red rain falling on the leaves, the ground, a rose river, begging her to swim. Working title. Pakistan, Disneyland, a fairy tale promised, land of prayer mats and laddu, fat chum-chums dripping with pink coconut syrup and all the rupees to buy them, land of jobs and tender lambs sliding off the bone, land of endless Ramzan's maghrib and nights bouncing with mendied feet. Legal and ethical considerations. History didn't give me a blueprint for loving you, but here I am, 70 years after you crossed a blood-sodden field, building your altar. History didn't give you a blueprint for loving us, but there you were, guiding through the tall grass, Kirpan clearing a red path. Character breakdown. They aren't soldiers, just men. Men who wear matching shirts, men who carry machetes, men who march in formation. These aren't refugees, just families vacationing to the promised land. We aren't at war, just neighbors who like to kill each other. Sample dialogue. I know that man, my teacher. This bus goes right, right, left. Did you pack the atta? We'll come back when. Yes, Kashmir is our. What's a home anyway? I know that man, a prick at the wheel, golden thread, bus gone left. You wanted a fairy tale, and now. Audio element. Silence. Auntie P talks of the apple orchards, the fruit piled into her arms, backyards blossoms perfuming the whole neighborhood, and my grandfather. Yes, she loves the story of my grandfather, teaching the neighborhood children while all the streetlights firefly the night. Constraints. Even with all this light, I can't see past the silence of my family, the silence of a home I've never lived in, the sins of a people mine and also not mine, my aunt's long stare, Ulu's bowed eyes, his voice's rough engine stalled in the blood-soaked mud. Contingency. I'm a bad researcher. I don't know your name, what you did other than take my family off the bus once we arrived at the parking lot full of death. This is a love letter, I think. You're a murderer, I think. Did you save us? Walk back and slaughter the rest. Target audience. Everyone wants Kashmir, but no one wants Kashmiris. Aren't I a miracle, a seed that survived the slaughter and slaughters to come? I think I believe in freedom. I just don't know where it is. I think I believe in home. I just don't know where to look. Narrative device. Flash forward. In America, they slaughtered a temple of Sikhs because they thought them us. Here we all become towel heads, amorphous spheres praying to a brown god. Others that become others that look like others. They don't know our history. It's locked doors and heavy whispers. Narrative device. Flashback. Bring back the books, belted in your hand, swinging their shadowed love across your body. You, a schoolboy handsome, sucking a cigarette, never worrying about your lungs or gut, old man fears hanging on some distant clothesline. Visual element, filtered light. Ulu remembers it like this, the bus turning left, right, left. The lot of parked buses, mountains of Muslims stacked to the sky, a brown shirt and red crested blade running to them. My grandfather's eyes wide, the boy who used to sit by his knee, now a man. Visual element, camera swing. You're the god of small slaughters. I'll write to you forever. The man who would not let his teacher die? What stories were your family told? Are your grandchildren in Jammu still, throwing rocks at the armies who stain the streets? Property rights. Everyone wants Kashmir, a useless crown, a ruby-fed blood carved by machete. The past is a land I do not know. I love a man who saved my family by stealing our home. I want a land that doesn't want me. I love a land that doesn't exist. Denouement. The image Ulu gave me, the long march through the forest after, his mother's plea to Allah piercing the trees like a strangled bird. My mother's eyes blank as he held her hand, his siblings' squeals drying in their throats. And there, in the horizon, a new country, a broken promise. End credits. In another life, could you have been my uncle, throwing me over your shoulders when I was a baby? And when I grew up, I could have taught your children's children's children until the streetlights came on, until our neighborhood crowded night. Partition. 1945. My grandfather steps off a train in Jammu and Kashmir, drinks pani from the Muslim fountain. My grandfather teaches all the children in his village. There are men who won't touch his hands, afraid his Muslim blood dirty. When he passes, they bend and pet the stray dogs instead. 1947. A Muslim man sips whiskey and creates a country. Jinnah's photo framed and hung on the doors of his believers. Freedom spat between every pond-stained mouth as the colonizers leave and the date trees dance in Ramzan's winds. 1947. In the fall, the birds fly south for safety to hide from the cold. 1947. In fall, my family flocks south to Pakistan for safety, to hide from their neighbors. 1945. The Allies open the camps in Germany, and the photos roll into America. The Westerners end their war and declare, never again. 1947. A man sees a girl crying as she begs for water. He stares for a while and then lights her on fire. 1946. A woman registers to vote and then registers her grandmother, long dead. She casts a ballot for India to stay united, changes into her grandmother's sari, and casts the vote again. 1947. The cannons sound during Ramzan and everyone holds their breath to find who survived. Laylat al-Qadr births two new nations. No one knows the boundaries. Bodies spoon like commas, waiting, linking, waiting, linking. 2015. A Lahori non-seller wakes to his old nightmare, hacking a Sikh family to death. He falls to his knees and pleads, Allah, forgive me. Please, forgive me. 1947. A woman washes the body of a stranger lying on the street. Every dead woman blurs into another. Maybe she could be my sister, she says, as she performs the ghusl, as her own sister never returns home. 1943. Famine spreads through the British Raj. In Bengal, 3 million die, bones of skin, arms sharp as machetes. 1947. Summer in a Bihari marketplace. There's nothing but sog and edible flowers. Lines of people crowd the center, their hands empty. 1993. Summer In New York City, I am 4, sitting in a patch of grass by Pathmark. An aunt teaches me how to tell an edible flower from a poisonous one. Just in case, I hear her say. Just in case. 1947. A man attacks Jinnah on the street. Another man spits on Nehru. My family died for your dream, they say. Bring me back my family. Bring me back my family. 1947. In Jammu, the railway staff hose blood off the platform. It has been an unusual rain this year, they say, the blood water spraying onto the grass. The stray dogs lay about, bloated with flesh. It has been an unusual rain this year, says a Muslim general, machete in his hand, his troops surrounding a sleeping Hindu village as the sky above Rawalpindi wakes. From What They Say, How They Say It, What They Actually Mean. Where are you from? A shortcut to the end, could be period. A love song, if they weren't locking a drone on target. You must not be from here, so where are you from? Ab kahan se hain? There is a wrong answer. Ab kahan se hain? There is a wrong accent. Tu si kitto ho? How did you forget? How will you remember? Partition. Ulu partitions the apartment in two, a thin blue wall cutting the deserted hall. Toys and books on our side. Refrigerator, sink, and TV with our auntie A. She sends us rations throughout the day and we stay separate, not allowed to cross. I'm 10 and haven't been hugged in a long time. Allah made a barrier between me and my mom. Ulu makes a barrier between me and my aunt. When he leaves, we sit at the base of the blue wall and I laugh loud so Auntie A knows I'm alive and okay, and she laughs loud so I know she hasn't left, and we sit like this for hours, hands pressed to the felt, laughing, laughing, unable to see each other. Portrait of my father, alive. At the pizza shop, he eyes pepperoni. Pig sweats on everything here. Polka dot tie and pinstripe suit. Childless. America's shiny windows glittering. He orders a slice with no sauce, no cheese, no toppings. Just the bread. Just the bread, he says, and leaves, carrying his naan home. Old Country. Old Country Buffet, where our family went on the days we saved enough money. Everyone was in a good mood, even Olu, our uncle who never smiled or took off his coat and dyed his hair black every 2 weeks so we couldn't tell how old he was. We marched single file towards a gigantic red lettering across the gravel parking lot to announce our arrival. We, children, carrying our rectangle backpacks brimming with homework, calculators, and Lisa Frank trapper keepers, for we knew this was a day without escape, spread out across all the booths possible while our families ate and snuck food into the Tupperware they smuggled in, and no matter how we begged and whined or the waitress yelled or threatened to charge us more money, we weren't leaving until my greedy-ass family had their fill. Oh, old country. The only place we could get dessert and eat as much of it as we wanted before our actual meal. The only place we didn't have to eat all the meat on our plates or else we were accused of being wasteful, told our husbands would have as many pimples as rice we left behind. Here, our family reveled in the American way of waste, manifest destinied our way through the mac and cheese and green bean casseroles, mythical foods we had only heard about on TV where American children rolled their eyes in disgust. Here, we learned how to say, I too have had meatloaf and hate it. Evidence we could bring back to the lunch table as we guessed what the other kids ate as they scoffed at our biryani. Here, the adults told us if we didn't like the strawberry shortcake, we could eat the ice cream or jello. We could get a whole plate just to try a bite and turn up our noses, and that was fine. Here, we loosened the drawstrings on our shalwars and gained 10 pounds. Here, we arrived at the beginning of lunch hour and stayed until dinner approached, until they made us leave. Here, we learned how to be American and say, we got the money, we're here to stay. Haram. God supports my waxing habit. Khadijah Usker. The day Auntie A saw my sister's pussy hairs crawling out and around her underwear, so long that if you ripped through the tangles, you could part them into pigtails, was the day we were all given our own pair of scissors and told to read namaz. Your hairiness is against Allah's will, my auntie scolded, the disappointment lined on her too young face. The three of us sisters lined up to wash our feet in the tub, our shame quieting us as the wadu water splashed all the way to our arms. Khadijah had to do astaghfirullah, repenting for her evils as we cut each lock of hair, discarding them in a plastic bag we got from the corner store because they were too thick to flush down our struggling toilet. The next day, we sisters woke at 5 a.m. to read the Quran, massacring the scripture in our American mouths. We read the surah about not painting your nails or altering any part of your body and wondered about our sheared bushes, once a part of us, and now finding shelter in some smelly garbage. Maybe we misunderstood the surah. Maybe we were outside Allah's creations. But we knew better than to question my auntie's law. We speculated the Quran hadn't ever imagined hairiness like ours. So vast it was its own sin. Playroom. I never had enough Kens, so I made my Barbies fuck each other or fuck Beanie Babies. I never had more than one Beanie Baby per species. They were rarer that way, and like some perverted Noah's Ark, kept from multiplying. No one with skin colored like theirs. Freaks like me. Lucky the Barbies needed their bodies. I controlled in my playroom. Whole cities of beautiful women, boundless tits, fucking sacks of animal. Plastic legs thrusting until the beanie said yes, balls of beans spilling to the floor. The ladies fucked their corpses until Auntie A made me throw them out. Legions of identical white women, skin glowing like pearl milk, magnificent as they stormed the gates of the zoo, conquering each animal, one limb at a time. Shadi. During partition, 75,000 to 100,000 women were abducted and raped. Many of these women were forced to marry or chose to stay with their abductors because they knew they would not be accepted back into the communities from which they had been stolen. We've had our worth told to us since always. Two goats and maybe a nose ring or bracelet. We've tried to relearn worth outside our bodies. One day, may our names come before our sex. One day, may we be more than a body. May we forget the threats of our uncles selling us off to some man, some round belly and house already brimming with wives. May our names come before you. Come before Batamis, come before whore. May our silhouettes not be followed, not be the last fed and the first to wake. One day, may the men in our beds not be strange. Boy. What do I do with the boy who snuck his way inside me on my childhood playground? The day other kids shoved my body into dirt and christened me, he appeared, boy, wicked, feral, swallowing my stride. The boy who grows my beard and slaps my face when I wax my mustache. He was there too, the day on Ben's couch, wearing my skirt, ranking the girls in class. Again, his legs slamming concrete, my chest heaving when we ran from cops. The night they busted the river party, again when I smashed the jellyfish into the sand and grinded it down to a pink, useless pulp. Together we watched it throb, open and close, begging for wet. He was there. I have a boy inside me and I don't know how to tell people. Like when that man held me down and we said no. And my boy, my lovely boy, he clawed and bit and cried just like we were back on the dirt playground, scraped wrists and steady pounding, his eyes wide until he stopped making a sound. Gazebo. One spring, Olu collected all the dead wood he could find and built a gazebo. The brick backyard pretended to be grass. All the pictures we took from the waist up for our MySpace pages, passing us off as suburban girls worthy of nature. Our ironed hair pressed straight down our backs, Claire's jewelry glinting in the sunlight. It wasn't long before we started decorating the gazebo with fake foliage. Painted leaves stapled to stem, roses that never wilted. Actual flowers were expensive and only for funerals. We had too many funerals to waste flowers, but we loved our story, the gazebo that dared to live on concrete, the plastic petals, always red, always bright, never in need of water. Partition. It was 2000 and we knew nothing of history. Just the shit we read in class about gods, not ours. It was all so simple then. Marilyn's Jamaican mom told Ulu, we don't touch pork either. Their barbecues and invitation, lines of jerk chicken and goat smoldering on midsummer's lazy days, side by side with Ulu's garam masala kebabs. Jaspreet's family was Punjabi too, from the other side of partition. All our food shared and somewhat the same. A different spice here and there, maybe a different name, maybe their bread thicker or our dal more red. In this new kingdom, children always lost, with no aptitude for maps or the lines the West drew in them. When we went to Nabila's house, we would all shout, Bangladesh, Bangladesh, all my people from Bangladesh. Her mom's bewildered stare, our legs wiggling, history paused. Bodies slow rolling like in the music videos we devoured. We, children, bellowing our songs, our names, our bodies stacked four to a bed, belonging, belonging, always to each other. To prevent hypothermia. After the race, my teammates kicked the boys off the bus and into the downpour. Blocked the windows with their sweatshirts, peeled the wet clothes from my skin, each inch matted down, disobedient, hair plastered to my brown legs. It took two hungry girls to remove the spandex from my paling thighs, their blonde hair a cascade from heaven, water droplets falling from their roots, stinging my body. The ports tore off my shirt and sports bra, my nipples, lighthouses in a swollen ocean, a trail of dark hair running up my belly. My whole boat witness to my small naked frame, a gulf of shiver on the bus, and their own hairless legs disappearing into their shorts, skin ripe as peaches, reaching for my brown body. These girls, who I had stolen glances at while we changed and wished I could look like, my locker room crew, my 5 a.m. practice girls, my lean over the starboard side so she could pee off the rigor girls, my 2-mile run after eating Annie's mac and cheese girls. They took turns rubbing life back into my bones, offered clothes off their own backs to keep me from shaking. My girls, sandwiching me in their heat until my joints floured, until the warmth budded through my blood. What more could I ask than a team willing to undress their captain, too cold and rain-glittered to do it alone? White lie. Marilyn put me in all the lies to her parents. The night she snuck out with boys or to smoke black and milds with her cousin Manny and his best friend Malik. Yes, Mama Grace, we were watching Pokemon. Yes, Mama Grace, we watched it again. Yes, ma'am, we really do love that movie. Threading whatever I could into a cinematic recreation while Marilyn beamed, bad girl, gleaming, getting away with everything. It wasn't long before Mia and Rachel put me in their lies, too. Not that they even had anything to lie about. It just felt good being able to lie and have a friend no one suspected of treason. We were all virgins and betted on who would lose it first. I was always last, hairy, half boy, half girl who got good grades and could do no wrong. I never did anything wrong. Not even when I let Anita's brother touch me under the sheet when we watched movies, or when Jessica showed me her nipple rings during play rehearsal and I stopped myself from licking them, or when I got so angry at my sister I filed my nails to points and watched her sleep, or how when Aisha tried to commit suicide I stopped talking to her. I was so much of a lie I rewrote my family for anyone who listened. Yes, my father lives in Pakistan. A surgeon that stitches hearts back together. My mother, a pediatrician in New York, auntie to all her patients, and yes, of course they love me. But Boston has better public schools, and I get to see them every holiday, and we go on long drives and talk about what I want to be when I grow up, and what they did when they were my age, and how they met and named me, and are just so, so proud. Oil. I'm young and no one around knows where my parents are from. A map on our wall and I circle all the places I want to be. My auntie A, not blood but could be, runs oil through my scalp. Her fingers play the strands of my hair. The house smells like badam. My uncle Fuzzy, not blood but could be, soaks them in a bowl of water. My auntie A says my people might be Afghani. I draw a ship on the map. I write Afghani under its hull. I count all the oceans, blood and not blood, all the people I could be, the whole map, my mirror. We got sent home early and no one knew why. I think we are at war, I yelled to my sister, knapsacks ringing against our backs. I copycatted from Francis, who whispered it when the teachers got silent. Can't blame me for taking a good idea. I collect words where I find them. 2 hours after the towers fell, I crossed the ship out on the map. I buried it under a casket of scribbles. All the people I could be are dangerous. The blood clotting, oil in my veins. Someone wrote anthrax on my locker where I keep my body mist. Alexandra says I smell musty. All the boys laugh. When was the last time you showered? I did. I'm not. I can make my own armor, oil all the parts. I'm not. I can harden and no one will touch me. I'm not. I laugh along. I'm not. I can't go to my locker. I'm not. Can't see those letters on metal. I did. So I spray myself with Marilyn's cucumber body mist. I'm not. When I get home, I'll throw my clothes in the laundry again. I did. Find my spites in my underwear. I'm not. And tomorrow, when I show up, none of the boys will laugh. The walk to school makes the oil pool on my forehead, a lake spilling under my armpits. The news said the oil's drying up. America is starting wars to get it back. My people are on the list. We can't survive without oil. But who's got money for both gas and lunch? There's a rough spot above my ear where my head wages war on itself. Thin skin, my doctor says. But I stop letting my Auntie A oil my hair. My auntie has a baby in her, and I know our pretend game is up. She's not my mother. No one is. I have no blood, just my body and all its oil. The kids at school ask me where I'm from, and I have no answer. I'm a silent girl, a rig ready to blow. The towers fell 2 weeks ago, and I can't say blow out loud or everyone will hate me. They all make English their own, say, that's the bomb. I know that word's not meant for me, but I collect words where I find them. I practice at night, the crater it makes of my mouth. I whisper to my sheets, bomb, 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 bomb. A little symphony, so round. I look up and make sure no one heard. Land where my father died. Land of buildings and no good manners, land of sunless people and offspring of colonizers, land of no spice and smallpox, land of fake flowers, land of shackle and branches made of rope, land of wire fences, grabbing sky, land that mispronounces my grief, land that skins my other land, that laughs when my people die and paints targets on my future children's faces, land that steals and says, mine, land that plants mines and says, go back, land that poisoned my mother and devoured her body, land that makes my other language strange on my tongue, land that stripped our saris and clips halos to its flag, land that eliminates cities, land that says homeland security, land that built the first bomb and the last, land that killed my father and then sent back his body, land that makes me orphan of thee, I sing. Lullaby for Khadija. When the sadness comes, my sister tells me a story. A man buried in Pakistan, a woman buried in New York City. When we sleep, they wake. Opposite sides of the world. The planet opens a tunnel where they meet. Dirt sky and worm stars. The lovers dance. All night, their way back. My father's fingertips pressing against my mother's crooked smile. Her henna-dyed hair light the underworld. The mole on his lips' left side winks the dark. The last summer of innocence was when the mosquito bites bloomed across my ass. Swells of mucus burst when the bus bumped the way to school. Blood seeping through the cotton of my underwear. The wound would dry, underripe blackberries staining the back of my dress. Each time I took my panties off, I tore the bites open. I went to the hospital 3 times that summer, my body always leaking pus, slow dancing down the backs of my thighs, glistening like fresh baby oil in the moonlight. The summer my sister shaved her armpits even though the adult said she couldn't. She took my uncle's dull razor and marveled at the smoothness, left our Muslim house in a long-sleeved shirt, before stripping down to a tube top on the bus. Haram, I hissed, but too wanted to be bare-armed and smooth, skin gentle and worthy of touch. That was until she had a lump swell to the size of a golf ball from an ingrown hair, and we both landed back in the hospital room, doctors vacuuming liquid out of our muscles. The last summer of innocence was when my best friend gave me the 2 big thong with the silver heart clasp, and I put them on under my dress and buried my bloody granny panties behind the bleachers in the soil the boys used to touch each other and pretend it was a tackle. The summer after the towers fell or were blown down or up, and I watched the TV over and over. The people running from the fire and smoke and jumping from the buildings, arms out like wings, their bird bodies orbiting the earth, a new sun. It was the summer the TV told me I was dangerous and I tried to learn Spanish so I could pretend I was the other kind of other. It was the days I memorized the green leather seats of the school bus and stared straight ahead when the popular girls asked where I was from, my skin full of sores, pussing and oozing as the blood fled my body, trying to find anything else to call home. script for child services, a floor plan. Repeat after me. He is not a monster. Nothing happened. She isn't feeling well right now. That's why she called. Repeat after me. Bedroom 1. All orphans are raised by wolves. I called them sisters. We traveled as a pack, 3 to a bed, licking each other's fur. No one could hurt us. Bedroom 2. I was young. I didn't know better. I was young. I lied it all away. I was young. The police were big. I was young. No one believed us. I was young. I was afraid. I was young. I made a mistake. Living room. Was I wrong then for what I did? Was it betrayal or survival? What's the difference? Kitchen. Is this how you bend someone's mind to break? Nothing happened. We were wolves. They said we could survive anything. Hallway. Forgive me, Allah. I have always been wild. Still, I lie. My mistakes hang like a crescent bright in the sky. Forgive me, Allah, but I can't stop repeating. Nothing happened. Repeat after me. The White House. Or off-white, beige even, at the edges, we couldn't clean. Chipped porcelain tub, toilet that never flushed, where we hid when Ulu was in a bad way, when we heard him slam his feet up the stairs, his fists at the door, separating us girls, elbowing each other for a shot at safety, to be the one who cooed the bathroom, pretending to shit or piss or wash skin and drowned his bark, his bite, with water, the others left to his snarl, and one of us, president behind the only lock, the one who trumped with our silence, with our human need. Partition, August 15th, 1947. At the stroke of midnight, country achieved freedom, resulting in an adjective celebration. Both country and country fought for many months to come to this agreement, and now that the proper noun are gone, the proper noun people celebrate their victory. We end today a period of all noun, and country discovers herself anew, said proper noun, in a public speech, to great cheers of slogan. With country's promises of the security of the proper noun region and its borders, country's citizens verb to put the unfortunate events of the last few months behind them, and verb with their new neighbors. Though millions past tense verb leaders assure noun and future prosperity alongside cooperation with the military. Proper noun people are advised to shed fear and verb the new country. Proper noun vowed that members of all religion are welcome in country, but asked religion to honor the country's flag. However, if you are planning to leave for country, please do not forget to surrender your plural noun and ration cards, noun and noun, at the proper noun railway station. We wish you peace and noun. Slogan. They asked for a map. Nobody in India will love me. Cyril Radcliffe, who made the borders of partition in less than 40 days without ever previously visiting South Asia. They asked for a map, and so I drew them a line. What does it mean to partition earth, to cut the ocean? All the fish wear flags on their fins. The flies pledge allegiance to which bodies rotting in the street are theirs to nibble. Snowcocks nest on trees of their union and name themselves Indian. Fishermen cast lines across a liquid border and become spies, bugging the other side's fauna, dragging mackerel to daylight. Kafilas clash, territorial murderers in the no man's land. They asked for a map, and so I drew a line, down the army, down the police, down the guns and the bayonets, cousins partitioned from cousins, mothers partitioned from child, neighbors spearing neighbors, women, virgins, jumping into wells, so full with people they can't find water to drown. Microaggression bingo. White girl wearing a bindi at music festival. Friend defends drone strikes to play devil's advocate. Teacher still calls you Fatma on the last day of class. But you are lucky you have something exotic to write about. Everyone thinks you're an expert yogi even though you can't touch your toes. Stranger calls you sexy samosa at the bus stop and then asks for your number. I went to India once to find myself. Casting call to audition for Terrorist Number 7. All the actors in a movie about Egypt are white. Oh, but you don't really seem Muslim. You're from Kashmir? I have a rug, sweater, scarf from there. Someone misspells both your first and last name in an email. Don't leave your house for a day. Safe. Oh, but I read a book by Jhumpa Lahiri once. All South Asians are so rich. Editor recommends you add more white people to your story to be more relatable. Casting call to audition for battered hijabi woman number 42. I'm working on a story about Muslims. Could you read it and tell me what you think? I'll take you out to coffee. But America is so much safer for women. Get called a fob and told you smell like curry. So what's Muslim food taste like? You're from the same place that MIA is from, right? I love hanging out with your family. It always feels so authentic. The villains are wearing headscarves in yet another fantasy series. Oh, did your parents make you wear a hijab? In the fifth week of a class on Bollywood, a student refers to South Asia as the Middle East. My love for nature. All this tall grass has ruined my gold acrylic nails, and I know something's dead just beyond my window. I grew up with rats running my floorboards, the smell that strains from a body caught in a trap. In the city, what little I have of an ass is always out, a simple windblow from Marilyn Monroeing the street. I promised myself I'd be naked here in all this nature, but the first day I found a tick clinging to my arm hair for dear life and decided no way I'm exposing my pussy to the elements. My love for nature is like my love for most things, fickle and theoretical, too many bugs and I want a divorce. My love for the past is like my love for most things. I only feel it when I leave. Last week, before I was here, my uncle drove me from our city to the suburbs and sang Project Chick in the car. When we parked, he asked me to take off my shoes, and there we walked, silent, barefoot, circling the lake, trying to not step in goose shit. He walked in front, and I trailed behind, both our hands clasped behind our backs. He said, "When you were my daughter, it was the happiest days of my life. I wish you would come home. Best to stay gone, so I'm always in love. My gold nails are fake. The floorboards carry death. My bare feet skirt the shit." Gharib, meaning stranger, one without a home and thus deserving of pity. Also, Westerner. On visits back, your English sticks to everything. Your own auntie calls you gharib, stranger in your family's house, you, runaway dog turned wild. Your little cousin pops gum and wears bras now, a stranger. Black grass swaying in the field, glint of gold in her nose. They say it so often, it must be your name, stranger. When the West set in your bones, you survive each winter like you were made for snow. Stranger to each ancestor who lights your past. Your parents, dead, never taught you their language. Stranger to everything that tries to bring you home. the silver sun and blood-soaked leaves, everything a little strange and a little the same, like the hump of a deer on the busy road, headless, chest propped up as the cars fly by. Strange, no one bats an eye. You should pray, but you're a bad Muslim, everyone says. The Quran you memorize turns stranger in your mouth, sand that quakes your throat. Gag and ache, even your body wants nothing to do with you, stranger. How many poems must you write to convince yourself you have a family? Everyone leaves, and you end up the stranger. Halal. The Uber I step into is halal. At least the driver tells me so. He says, this window is halal, this door is halal, this floor, and we both laugh. The prayer hung in the rear view, a minaret that calls my knees, the closest to masjid I have been in years. Tonight this ride is the ummah I choose. The driver's hoot, a dervish that whirls my smile. He says, I am 1% halal, 99% shaitan, at least my devil is honest. Khuda ka shukr, at least my devil is honest. My skirt a little too short, my collarbones ridges for lovers' fingers to find flight. I never dress right for any weather, my arms a gathering of bumps. All my auntie's shame ice the blood below my inked veins. My knees wobble on the edge of what I should be and what I am. At the end of my sight, I dream a world brimming with my contradictions. When I turn to look, it disappears. My devil quiet the days I wrap my hair in a bouquet. But tonight, mashallah, we are safe from his gaze in this rush chariot. I lace the back seat with my haram. I trace an altar in my God's name. Map home. You chased after a man and after a language that don't belong to you. Clouded by these big words, keys to the mind, and the small words you collect in your palms, like here, the way your parents' names, small gifts, show up in the mouths of the living. You need to go back, and so you do. Stay there a while in that room, your immigrant auntie watching from her bed. The country no one wants creeps into your every sentence, while you force the gates open one at a time. A gentle hand pushing in, you can win her back, your childhood. Just smile wide. Here's how to get everyone to stay. Here's how to get rid of the dust. Your home so far away, the fog high around your head. You can write the spell. You can redraw the map. You can fight your way back. He's everywhere, now that you've said no, and spelled your mother's name wrong for most of your life. Despite it all, there's a path that leads to love. Like here, you're not dad, who could have been, and if he had, you wouldn't be so alone. But still, you insist on making eye contact with pain. You insist on returning to the memories of your mother's mother, as you replay the rusted stories, age-wrinkled, the movies you were too young to see unspool on the screen. You're bad at goodbyes. Each night, you set a plate at dinner for the sister who leaves, family by another name. Forgive her when she walks away, and remember instead where you first learned to ride a bike, her gentle hand pushing you away, the wind on your face like the month you first met your love, paper clips linking in your stomach. Remember. He's everywhere, now that you've said no. You chased after a man and after a language that don't belong to you, and spelled your mother's name wrong for most of your life. Clouded by these big words, keys to the mind, and the small words you collect in your palms. Despite it all, there's a path that leads to love. Like here, you're not dad, who could have been, and if he had, you wouldn't be so alone. Like here, the way your parents' names, small gifts, show up in the mouths of the living. But still, you insist on making eye contact with pain. You insist on returning to the memories of your mother's mother. You need to go back, and so you do. Stay there a while in that room, your immigrant auntie watching from her bed as you replay the rusted stories, age-wrinkled, the movies you were